Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 87, Episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially, off the top, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News. It's Friday, June 21st, 2019. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jacula Dead and Loving It, a.k.a. Jacula Wed and Hugging It. Shout out to my... had a birthday, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
I'm your private racist, rejected from Harvard, got me feeling so blue. I'm your private racist, using the N-word, please hit me with a shoe.
Kyle Kashev, that guy who we're talking about, who's only racist and private.
I can't believe he sent you that AKA.
No, that's from Velveeta Underhound and Ruthie Fudge. Velveeta under H1. And also, I see you, Brackish Joker. You also sent me a Tina Turner private dancer, private racist one, and I think a few other people did. But I see you. I just happened to do this one.
Yeah, I because love we talked about him being a private racist.
Yes, exactly.
One of the last rights that we have as Americans is to be private racist.
And racist.
Yes.
Or, wait, racist and private.
Yes, racist and private. Or...
Look, what two racists do at home in the privacy of their own home, none of my business.
Exactly.
Until they go to work and then act that out subtly, passively.
In front of my kids. And,
Don't you fucking... Yeah, until that you... Well, you recruit one of my kids to be racist?
Yeah.
Woo.
I mean, there's a racist agenda.
Right,
so.
Exactly. It's called the United States of America.
Don't get me started. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious and talented Caitlin Durante.
Hello, AKA.
Uh-oh, what do you got?
Lauren D. Titanic.
Is that a fucking legit anagram?
Real.
Lauren D.
That's
Titanic?
One of my, yeah.
I mean, I think you have to change your name.
I think so.
The fact that you have God, your fucking name is so good for these.
I know.
I have only nonsense.
Right.
And just like half words. And
Caitlin
you have...
Durante's anagram game is so strong.
I've got another one if you want.
Walter UTI is this obviously is... the classic. But Titanic is, I mean, for...
Lauren D. I mean...
For first-time listeners, like you are... we were talking about our personalities, and you said that your personality is defined by your love of Titanic and, what is it, Paddington?
Paddington.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so, there you go.
Those are my two things. One. This is courtesy of at Jace of Spades.
Uh-huh. Lauren D. Titanic.
You're still, wow. Still chewing on that one, huh?
This one is Adrenaline Cut It.
What the fuck?
Adrenaline.
You get the
cut
most
it.
Complex. I guess that my first two names only add up to 9 letters. So
yeah, that's trickier.
You don't get a lot of real estate.
Give me
that.
A couple hours. I'll come up with some good ones with your name, Miles.
I became so insecure after Latin Dancer UTI because I was like, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard. That I use an anagram machine to see what the options were, and I was so. Just fucking bummed out because there wasn't shit even coming close.
Yeah. Ray G. Limes. I don't know. That's just off the dome, bro.
Wow,
I just came up
impressive.
With that.
Thank you so much,
Caitlin. It's great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Add another thing to your personality. You're good with anagrams.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I've got those three things: Paddington, yeah. Titanic, and anagrams,
and the radioactive.
Oh well, you're spoiling one of my things.
Sorry. all right, we're gonna get to know you a little bit better. Not that there's that much more to get to know. I mean, you only have three things, and we've already covered them. But
yeah,
we're gonna try and dig even deeper than that in a moment. First, we're gonna tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today, such as that. Young people are growing horns on the back of their heads from phone use, from looking down. The muscles have shifted from our neck when we were looking up and making eye contact with one another. That was a bad old guy voice, but...
No, gotta talk like this. We used to make eye contact. I know, I
now
can't see.
Now we're all looking down at our dang phones.
Wow.
Yeah.
There was where was that character from?
I don't know.
From the Hollers?
Yeah, I think maybe. Anyways, because we're looking down, we have muscles that are forming on the back of our skulls that are then creating bone growths and horns.
Do I have one of those?
Phone bones.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we will all examine the backs of our skulls live on air and figure out if we have phone bones. We're going to talk about America possibly going to war.
Trying.
Doing their best.
Doing their darnest.
Folks from the Trump administration who aren't named Donald Trump seem to really want to go to war. And the president, for the first time, is not taking the thing that I would want him to do and doing the diametric opposite. It seems like he's, he doesn't want that smoke, and we're good with that. We're here for it. We're going to just tell Joe Biden, fuck off, man. Just
fucking
please
just go, dude.
Please go. Also, Nancy. ICE has stopped updating their list of people who died in ICE custody. That's troubling. We're going to talk about Elaine Chao being the new Scott Pruitt. I'm going to give you a little more texture on Tony Robbins' hell, the hell that people pay him to put them through. And we will have at the end a nice, healthy round of what we're fucking with.
What you fucking with?
But first, Caitlin, we like to ask our guests, what's something from your search history?
Well, you know how we were just talking about Titanic?
Mm-hmm. I do know that.
One of my most recent searches on Google was Rose from Titanic enamel pin.
Oh, okay.
I was looking to make a purchase.
Uh-huh.
Of what she
for like a blazer like a... pin? Like one of those little...
Yeah, like ones you just like, yeah, a piece of flair, if
nice.
You will.
Yeah.
I know of one that exists, so I was searching for it so I could buy it.
Is it a like a replica of a prop from the film or of Rose from Titanic as a pin?
It's of Rose.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So, like, you know the scene? You know the scene.
Oh, I do.
Draw me like one of your French girls?
I saw it twice in the
theater. Not that one, but the one where she's, like, exiting the car before.
She gets onto the Titanic?
Yeah. And there's, like, the beautiful reveal where she, like, lifts her head.
They called it the Ship of Dreams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's like, it doesn't look any longer than the Mauritania.
Yeah.
Her in that outfit is, there's, like, an enamel pin of it. So.
Is it like is it very photorealistic or it's kind of a caricature? I don't know why I'm so invested in this. I'm like, I have to know what this pin looks like.
It's pretty photorealistic. Oh, do you want me to Google
image? No, no, it's better that it's in my mind's eye. Good. And I'll take that with me.
So yeah, I was searching for that.
Have they, you know, again, what would be a cool pin is like a pin with like a spinny thing on it for that is the guy hitting the propeller.
Oh,
on
my
part?
God.
Like, oh, that, wow.
That's my favorite moment.
Oh, like when it goes ass up when it's sinking?
Yeah. That is maybe the most memorable moment from that entire movie.
I know. And it's kind of a shame because it's otherwise a pretty great movie.
Yeah.
But.
Wait, why is that a shame? That's very memorable?
Yeah, just because it's like a moment out of one of James Cameron's action movies. It's like so.
Well, I think that
violent.
Was him sort of underlining that. You know, people fucking fell off.
Yeah.
Happens. And before that, I feel like all we were used to was seeing like those stupid ass dummies, like stunt dummies hit shit. Like when they would have to do like falls from great heights.
Yeah.
But with computer graphics, you can have that dude just fucking
spinning away.
Spinning down like a whirligig.
Yeah. I mean, didn't he get the stars in the sky right? Or somebody...
He got them wrong.
He got them wrong.
I think Neil deGrasse Tyson was like, in 1912, the stars wouldn't have been aligned like that.
I'm rather taking the appropriate action of telling Neil deGrasse Tyson to go fuck himself. he actually corrected the stars for the like director special edition.
Wait, how long after did Neil deGrasse Tyson was like, the stars are fucked?
It was
like years later?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
Yeah.
James is slipping.
That's right.
You know,
what is something you think is underrated?
Are you familiar with the game Canasta?
Canasta.
It is a card game.
I've heard this
played mostly by people 60 to 70 and older.
I've heard tell of this Canasta.
But I learned it when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been teaching my friends it over the years. And it's a really fun game. And I think that more people should play it.
Okay, describe it to
me. Is that the one where each player starts with 15 cards in hand and both players take turns in drawing one card from the stock and discarding one card on the discard pile?
15 or 13, depending on how many players. But right. Yes,
say that again and look me in my eye. Don't look at your screen, Jack.
It actually
he wills
looks like...
one eye to just go down. Like, oh my God, the eye control.
It actually looks like solitaire. It looks like two people playing solitaire a little bit.
That's wrong.
So do you know it? Spoiled
your
card.
It's kind of a much more complicated. People liken it to bridge. Because it's like similarly very complicated, but it's like a more complicated version of Rummy, sort of.
Gin Rummy? Is that a different game?
Gin Rummy, I think, is a different game than regular Rummy. God. There's a few different variations of Rummy.
I used to play with my grandmother and grandfather. It's called Kings in the Corner.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where you put the kings in the corner. It's like a sequence game. Anyway, I don't know how many people. Maybe it's like a old black person card game.
My dad and I play Knock Gin. Do you ever
What's
play gin?
Knock gin?
Gin is like where you, it's like gin, but instead of putting the pears out, you keep them in your hand. And
I've never
game.
Played gin. I don't drink gin. So
you're a man
Square.
Of principle.
Yeah, I know.
What a dork.
It just tastes like Vaz water. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's,
it's
overly
floral.
It's
like floral a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I have the one time like a like master bartender made me like a actually good gin martini. I was like, okay, I could fuck with that.
Yeah,
but I used to just drink a lot of Tanqueray, like, or in high school, that was like the thing kids always brought because, like, no parent really drank Tanqueray,
right? So you could just take it,
yeah. They didn't know.
I think that's why I had like one of my early drinking experiences was a really bad experience with gin, and I never liked it after
mixing Tanqueray and Tab.
I think I just drank it straight and it was warm.
That happened to me the first time I ever drank alcohol when I was in college. I had two shots of gin, which is a weird thing. You don't really shoot gin. But I don't, you know.
Yeah, it's like
getting
let us know. Is everybody kind of, was that the deal? Like, was the gin the, like, because you would watch your parents, you knew the liquor they would drink.
Right.
So you knew, like, okay,
that bottle has been fucking there since I was 3 years old. You right. know, like, and you're like, and that's the one I've been looking my whole life. I wonder if that's what it is.
We had old granddad in our liquor cabinet, I remember.
Oh.
And I drank a bunch of Canasta.
Put him in a cemetery?
I'm kidding. That's not a drink.
Canasta. That could be a drink, though, I feel like.
Right?
Yeah. What is something you think is overrated?
Harmony Korine.
Woo!
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I went there.
Uh-oh.
I just watched Beach Bum for the first time a few days ago, and God, did I hate it. And I hate Spring Breakers. I just
Trash
don't
Humpers.
Think he's... I don't think I've seen that one.
Mm-hmm.
Kids is okay.
Trash Humpers seems like a description of his career. That he's yeah. just like 100%. Low culture that I hump.
Yeah,
that
Gummo.
Fuck. Yeah, Beach Bums... I haven't seen Beach Bums. You had a tweet that spoiled something somewhat surprising. I don't know if we want to spoil it for our listeners, but...
Are you going to spoil Trash Humpers or Beach Bums?
Beach Bums.
Okay, well...
What I'll say about... that Beach Bum is that there's I think like a 10-minute sequence that Zac Efron is in, and I love Zac Efron. I'll watch any, and that's why I watched the movie, because I was like, Zac Efron's the star of this movie. Turns out he's not. He's in it for 10 minutes. It is a great 10 minutes, but the rest of it is unwatchable in my humble master's degree having
in
screenwriting opinion. So
you should make that part of your personality. Instead of
that, I have a master's degree in screenwriting. Yeah, I could
do
that.
This is my first time hearing this.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be too multidimensional, you
right.
know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. true. You don't want to intimidate men.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, I started watching Gummo because it was in Belly.
Wait, if the movie remember, Gummo yeah, is in Belly?
Yeah, there's a scene where they get to DMX's house and he has Gummo on in the background for whatever reason. And he's like, this shitty ass rabbit stinks. And I was like, what the fuck is, like, what? What? Like, what is this movie they're watching?
So Harmony Korine, like, first burst onto the scene as a child when he wrote Kids.
Yes.
Which actually, what am I saying? I saw Kids before Belly. Never mind. Anyway.
Anyways, it's Kids is, you know, an overrated morality tale where it's like, if you have sex with someone with AIDS, you've got AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't worry. It's me, Casper. It's me, and Casper. Oh boy.
Anyways, he did find Rosario Dawson, or at least the director of that. Rosario
Larry,
Dawson's
Larry
career wouldn't be with us if were it not for
Larry Clark, who's another interesting character too.
What? No, Larry Clark's a great guy. There's nothing wrong with Larry Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Totally cool.
Totally cool. Just shooting up heroin with people to get the photo and exploit them. But I don't know. I mean, his photography is phenomenal. I was actually having a conversation with my dad about Larry Clark this weekend.
Really?
What do we think of Larry Clark?
That's what you and your dad talk about. That's pretty cool.
Talk about that and...
Talk about.
Yeah, on March 7th, 2001. Track meet where he showed up and I knew something was wrong. Anyway.
What did you talk about what you were doing this weekend with your dad in New York?
No.
You should talk about that. That's pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Todd Gray.
Yeah, I basically hung out with him. Do we need one more? Okay, fine.
Yeah.
My dad was he's showing at the Whitney Biennial in New York.
Oh,
very significant moment in his career for art. If you like art, you're in the New York area, check out the Whitney Biennial. He's on the 6th floor. And yeah, I was there to, you know, I hadn't seen the show, so I went out there to see the show. That's why I wasn't on Tuesday's episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very, very nice. Ironically, my mom was there too.
Wow.
And we all had dinner.
Whoa.
And it was like one of the first times me and my mom, my dad had dinner for like in a minute.
How'd it
like
go?
Like that. Oh, it was fine. It was great. Everything's cool. Yeah. I mean, like it was surreal. It was just kind of, it was weird that we were all in the same place, but then it happened to be New York.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the stars aligned, as Neil deGrasse Tyson would say.
Is it true that it's a big city of dreams?
Well, I do know that everything in New York ain't always what it seems.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Is it a concrete jungle, though, where dreams are made of?
I believe so.
Okay.
The dog pound New York, big city.
Also, you said the stars align, but they didn't align correctly in Titanic, unfortunately.
Oh, boy. Back to you.
Back to you, Miles. And finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Well, did you know that... Toy Story is not about a story that gets bitten by a radioactive toy.
The reveal of the fourth part of her personality.
There it is.
The radioactive.
The fourth and final.
Final form.
I've been watching the Toy Stories with my son because he's going to see Toy Story 4 while I'm out of town this weekend. So I wanted to get him caught up. And I'm also a little bit mad that I'm missing his first movie-going experience.
Oh, it's his first one in the theater?
It's his first in-theater experience.
Oh. Where are you going? Where is he going?
El Capitan, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you for respecting the name.
El Capitan?
Yes.
But yeah, he's going to see Toy Story 4. So we've been watching the franchise. We're through the first two. I realized I usually remember where I was whenever I saw a movie. Like, I just, that's like the weird thing that my brain, like... remembers, but I don't think I saw Toy Story 2, or I saw it. I realized yesterday that I saw it during like a time when I was like drinking too much I just couldn't remember it at all. Yeah,
that's funny because like you would have been an adult and you're like, let's put fucking Toy Story out.
Exactly. Came out in 1999, which was a bad year for me. So, you know.
A lot was going on, man. We were pretty panicked about Y2K also. So
I had a lot of stress. I'm not going to blame it all on Y2K, but it certainly didn't help. Caitlin, are you a fan? Are you excited for Toy Story 4?
I am. Yeah, I'm seeing it. I mean, as listeners, as you're listening to this, I'm seeing it right now.
Wow.
No matter when you listen to this, I am seeing Toy Story 4.
Oh, no. What a horrible curse that you put on yourself.
It just plays over and over in my mind.
Anytime anyone listens to this for years, you just automatically suddenly have to start watching Toy Story 4. I hear it's like David Lynchian. Like, this one's like
really
weird. Yeah.
Oh.
Well, because it like asks a strange question. Like, there are all these weird like philosophical questions that are created by the first movie, like what happens to toys after like they go to a landfill and then they're just frozen there sentient, like looking at a rotting banana peel for the rest of their lives. Like, that is a nightmarish hell, and the franchise has been like, yeah, let's go after that. Let's make that the theme of Toy Story 3. It's like, what the fuck? But this one, I guess, is around the theme of like, what makes a thing a toy enough to become sentient? So they like put googly eyes on a fork.
Yeah.
And then like, they're like, it's sentient, but it's like a freak. It's just like, so.
Yeah, he like doesn't want to live. It's like, he's like, I don't want this life.
Yeah, kill me. Oh God, kill me now.
So they've developed a God complex.
Yeah, but it's so strange that is a dark implication of the universe that only adults.
I'm curious to know what your son's first take will be after seeing that. Like, what the question will be, because I'm sure that'll be interesting for a child to see and try and process.
Well, we're going to watch Toy Story 3 tonight as you're listening to this, guys. We're going to be watching Toy Story 3, and that one is very dark. It's a dark film. So, I'm curious what he's going to think. But loves the movies to this point.
They're great.
Yeah. You know, Toy Story 2 very clearly takes place in a pre-9/11 world. So I had to like kind of explain that to him. I was like, you know, what you're not seeing here. We haven't lost our innocence.
He's like, actually, honey, take that DVD out. Put in Loose Change.
Exactly.
Boy's got to learn before he watches Toy Story 2. It's weird, man. All those Saudis got out right away, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
What you think about Building 7, boy?
But, I mean, the climax of the movie takes place in an airport, like, as luggage is going through all these trains, and it's just, like, you know, so innocent.
Yeah, yeah.
So easy for them to sneak around in an airport back
Exactly.
there. Ugh. Anyways.
Man, remember when airports are easy to sneak around in?
Those were the days.
Wow.
Wow. We've been spending too much time around each other. Miles, I think it's time for you to leave for a week.
Okay, I will.
All right. Well, after this episode.
Okay.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where First-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring the Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this,
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And young people are growing horns. Discuss.
Moving on. Growing next. Fucking skull horns.
Skull horns. Let's all examine.
I was feeling.
Well, this all happened because earlier today, Super Purdue Pharma, mm-hmm. Anna Hosnier sends a text this with a news thing with an x-ray that says horns are growing on young people's skulls.
Mm-hmm.
Phone use is to blame, research suggests.
Right.
And this x-ray is like of someone, the base of someone's skull with a straight up little fucking horn.
A little spike mm-hmm. coming out the back. And
I don't think I have one.
So Super Producer Anna Hosnier does have one. She felt a little protrusion.
I have one too, but I've had this my entire life.
Oh, right.
So, well, I mean, I was in utero looking at my phone.
Looking at your phone, exactly.
So that must be why.
How'd you get that phone?
My mom swallowed it.
Oh. Is that how it
works? Is that how that works?
Weird.
Okay, whatever. We don't have to explore that anymore.
Anyways.
So
as we've discussed,
horns.
Though, so I don't have one, but because I want to be young, I'm going to get an implant of one to try and...
To match your son?
To make me seem cool and hip. But yeah.
Could you imagine? Like, that's what the hey fellow kids type wave is next. Yeah, you're like, hey, you know, I got a skull horn too, man.
I feel that.
Your
feel
old man knows a little something about yeet.
shit. Yeah, but that's pretty crazy.
It's a bone spur or something? It's not that we're evolving it into a skull horn.
It's basically that we're developing muscles where we didn't used to have muscles because we spent so much time with our heads bowed in prayer.
My head.
With our heads bowed over our phones that we're developing muscles at the back of our skull, and these muscles are like getting little bony protrusions in them.
Because it's like a callus building from
us
looking down.
That's what they said. It's the equivalent of a callus on like a
repeatedly used part of your skin. Jeez.
Do you think anyone's going to solve this? Because I have, I know somebody whose younger sibling had texting neck. Like, then her neck was fucked up from looking down so much at her phone.
Like, what do you mean fucked up?
Like, she had all kinds of neck pain and stuff, and like they were concerned like of like nerve damage that might have been happening from like her just basically almost being like chin to chest constantly.
Huh.
Because I know that was like a thing that I remember I laughed at when they were talking about in the early outs. They're like, "Do you have texting neck?" I'm like,
"Right.
No."
Right.
And then cut to this younger person like who grew up basically texting or on like iPad, whatever, Game Boys, what have you, Game Gears, Atari Lynx, whatever it was.
Yes.
just naming all the handheld things I can remember. Sega playable memory cards, if you
Chinese
remember those from Dreamcast.
Traps.
Yeah. But yeah, it was like a to know that now, like we've gone from texting neck to now we're building bone spurs at the bases of our skulls is, I guess, interesting, showing that we're our bodies are starting to change based on technology.
Probably in ways that God didn't intend. I think we can all agree on
that, sure.
Right? Yeah.
I like to think that my head has an erection, a boner.
For lack of a better word.
Right.
A sculler.
A phone boner.
A phoner.
Yeah,
well, guys, just please look up.
Yeah, look up.
Do you ever feel pain from looking down at your phone a lot?
No, just the pain of when my son is like, Daddy, play with me. Look at me. And you missed my first steps.
And you're like, you just missed this sick crossover I saw on Breaking Ankles Daily Instagram account.
That's right. All right, guys, let's talk about war. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps claimed responsibility for a U.S. surveillance drone that was shot down. And they claim it entered Iranian airspace. The U.S. says it was still in international airspace. And the U.S. general who commented on this said that it was 38 kilometers away from Iranian airspace, which seems like the sort of thing that we should be able to, like, independently verify. 38 kilometers is a lot kilometers.
They say they have proof.
Right.
But again, regardless of what either side is saying, like, these are just everybody's fucking with each other in little ways. Like, so now the U.S. will fly their drones close, saying we got our eye on you or whatever. But also, I'm sure close enough to try and get it shot down. And then the U.S. can point. It's like, you see what happens? I mean, like, they're just shooting stuff down. I don't know, guys. I don't know if the rest of the world is seeing this. Meanwhile, like, anyone who would even think to align with the U.S., like, I don't know.
Except
Israel and Saudi Arabia.
Right.
They're ready. But I think, you know, again, without Europe, it could be very difficult. I mean, again, it's just definitely another escalation to something that is so unnecessarily tense.
Right.
And, you know, I think, you know, when you hear stuff like Lindsey Graham being like, well, if they get, you know, they start building their nuclear program up, like all bets are everything's off the table or on the table. I don't know whatever the turn of phrase he used. Mm-hmm. What was interesting, though, is like right after Trump first just tweeted, like, Iran made a very bad mistake.
Right.
And then met with Justin Trudeau, who I'm guessing was like, don't you fucking even try something, dude. Please. No one wants this. And then they were asking when like what his thoughts were. Trump said, I find it hard to believe it was intentional, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah.
I think that it could have been somebody who was loose and stupid that did it. So his response to, like, what do you think of this is almost that he doesn't want to further the narrative that this was an intentional act of aggression.
Right.
Because it sounds like, from what we've heard him say, he doesn't want armed conflict, but then you have these maniacos by the name of Bolton and Pompeo who are like, Bolton just wants to see Iran just kneecapped. And then Pompeo's like, I think Jesus will come back if there's war over there. So
he does believe in a religion, right? That wants there to be, like, thinks that if there's a war in the Middle East, that will bring upon us revelations.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
It's in the Bible right there.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure. Just want to make sure he knew that that's what's happening.
I mean, he even said, like, that God may have sent Trump to save Israel from Iran. Like, he said that out loud.
Mm.
And, yeah, he fucks with the rapture.
Right.
So there's that. But, you know, I think what we'll see is hopefully the more of a diplomatic pursuit, because, I mean, we'll see. Based on Trump's response, he does not want smoke of any nature, which is very odd. But it seems like this is what the pattern, if we sort of compare it to other things, like when it came to North Korea, he was like, oh, you better watch out.
Right.
Because I've got a button too.
Right.
And
it's a bigger button.
And then all that for like a fake talk that went nowhere.
Right.
So if maybe with this, we'll just end up with the same Iran deal that he just blew up.
Right.
And they'll be like, yeah, see, I got him
back
to the table.
But it'll be called like the Trump deal or something.
Yeah. Iran deal too. Erectile boogaloo.
Yeah, it is a weird just feeling to not be diametrically opposed to what he's doing. Like he has this, it usually seems to me like I usually have the feeling that he has thought through what I want and done the opposite. Like I don't think that's probably causally how he's coming up with his policy, but that generally seems to be how we end up. And this time, just by accident, I guess he doesn't want armed conflict. And
right.
It's a weird feeling.
Yeah,
totally fuck it up.
He also like was careful to point out that like he wasn't being pushed by people in the administration towards a more aggressive approach, or he denied that that he was constantly being pestered by hawks. But I see who's in that room.
Right.
I don't believe that. I mean, he did campaign like he just didn't like war. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the one consistent thing. But at the end of the day, you don't know what all these other people are going to do. Plus, you have an environment where he's increasingly probably becoming more erratic based on the things that are going on with like the Mueller report and impeachment looming and his reelection. That could be bad. Like, I don't know what other, you know, he might pull some shit.
Right.
So I don't know where it goes. But
yes,
I was surprised to hear him say like, I don't think it was intentional when they're like, it flew into our airspace and we shot it the fuck down.
Right.
But this is also part of, too, like in general, Iran has a different view of what their airspace is in that region or what area they do control in the region. So maybe they have competing definitions of what international airspace was, and that's what happened.
Right.
But either way, that was, I think, $130 million drone. Just think of, that's another thing that I was like, $130 million, $130 million war toy.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to say he definitely has my vote, but, it's...
You're not going to write him off quite yet.
Sure. That's right. Speaking of writing people off, Joe Biden, guys, what the fuck?
Mm. Yeah, so I think we should leave it there.
Okay.
Yeah, like, what the fuck, dude? Where are you? Why? Why are you still here?
Yeah.
He... Oh, God. I mean, look, people still have the feel-good times of Obama in their minds when they hear his name. So, of course, I love it. That's that guy who used to just do weird stuff. And he's had some great one-liners recently. I think earlier this week he was telling donors in New York, he's like, that nothing would change if I'm in the White House. Business as usual for predatory capitalists.
Yeah.
It was basically the message.
Right.
He wanted to let people know, it's like, hi, the existing corporate power structure and banking structure, whatever, like, I'm not here to... you know, Bernie or Warren it up.
Right. Yeah.
We're going to keep on sucking this thing dry.
Yeah.
Because
there's no real problems other than that Trump is rude and mean.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's it. Those are the only problems.
Yes.
And we just want a nice guy. And, you know, he's been all over the place when it comes to, like, the Hyde Amendment. He's just, his record on, like, bills dealing with people of color in this country, his treatment of Anita Hill. Most people know that. Not the median voter quite yet. People who are very engaged are starting to see all that. So now, I mean, he got real just, what's the word, when you're nostalgic for his time working with some very nasty segregationist senators. He was talking again back, he went back way back in the Wayback Machine. And he was like, I was in a caucus with James Eastland. And then he goes on to say, briefly channeling the late Mississippi senator's southern drawl, Mr. Biden said of Mr. Eastland, he never called me boy. He always called me son.
I thought you were going to do the southern drawl.
I didn't want to. I don't even care enough at this point. It's not very creatively stimulating for me. Then he brought up another senator, Herman Talmadge. He said, one of the meanest guys I ever knew. You go down the list of all these guys. Well, guess what? At least there was some civility. We got things done. We didn't agree on much of anything, We got things done. We got it finished. But today, you look at the other side and you're the enemy. Not the opposition, the enemy. We don't talk to each other anymore. Again, a bygone era, and also you were dealing with some of the nastiest fucking racists, like, ever.
But he was civil. There was civility. Minds.
Yeah, miss me they were that. Homies. That's civility is for dominant cultures
right.
to deal with. Yes. Civility means nothing to me. Personally, when I see that, I'm like, that's how y'all talk to each other.
Mm.
Because the language on this end of the spectrum is oppression. So fuck your civility. And just an aside, right? When people like got very, you know, Cory Booker was like, yo, you need to apologize for like this dumb shit. Like Eastland was a very, very terrible, terrible racist. Like
right.
he was accused like World War II black soldiers who came back of like that they were, there was like a widespread rape of women in Stuttgart at the end of the war. And it wasn't like, it was baseless, these attacks right. on mm-hmm. like black GIs who had just served in the war. And then again, hated anything to do with civil rights. So that when people look at his track record, they're like, why are you like reminiscing about this fucking guy? Like right. he was a fucking fire, trash fire. And even there's like an anecdote about how he basically was saying like, was trying to negotiate with JFK about getting one of his buddies, one of Eastland's buddies on a federal judicial bench in exchange for voting for Thurgood Marshall, where he would block the nomination of Thurgood Marshall. And he's basically, anecdotally, by one account, this is saying with RFK, Eastland told RFK, he said, tell your brother if he gives me Cox, which is his buddy, I will give him his N-word.
Jesus Christ.
So that's why people are like, when you hear Joe Biden be like, yeah, and like, hey, I didn't agree with him. It's like, oh, dude, don't even bring this up. Like, yeah. you're better off. No one even exists in this world anymore.
Right.
Where we're like, man, I wish people would just, you know, sidle up next to violent racists
right.
to get maybe one thing done. But again, when you get people to work together, there's always an exchange. So what did Joe Biden seed for right. him to get those senators on board for the things he was saying right. they worked on? Like right. what other shit did Joe Biden like, okay, well, look, we can do the crime bill or whatever the fuck. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah, Cory Booker basically called him out. And then Joe Biden, like the old man that he is who will never apologize, he basically said, apologize for what? Cory should apologize. He knows better. There's not a racist bone in my body. I've been involved in civil rights my whole career. Period. 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 He said period three fucking times.
I love the period three times.
Also, when you have to say there's not a racist bone in your body, it typically means your skeleton is
racist.
As a Klan hood. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know anybody who's said that and you're like, that's true.
Right.
There isn't a racist bone in their body.
Yeah.
Like, people who deploy that defense, it's, oh, man, I think there was some website that was doing a brief history of the not a racist bone in my body defense. And all these people were like, these are all nasty fucking racists.
Yeah. Because I feel like it, I wonder if it appeals to this idea that like deep down I'm not racist.
Yeah.
So like even the way they're thinking about it, like as they formulate this construction, they're like, well, you know, at my core, I'm not racist. I just like say and do racist things.
I'm a private racist. But that's just
like part of the time. Yeah,
it's the same exactly. as private racism, racist bone in my right. body. Deep down, my bones are good.
Right.
All the muscle and my heart, my brain are racist.
Right.
But my bones are not.
My yeah. bones have lumps in them from looking down at my phone too much.
From my skull.
Right.
But they're not racist.
They're not racist. We should do a poll on everyone's skull bone spurs and see where they stand on the election. But yeah. You know, this is just more, again, like Joe Biden couldn't just accept what the criticism was of what he was saying or of these
right.
people and just
did period.
The thing is like, hey,
period.
I'm sorry you got offended.
Period.
Yeah. I'm sorry you period. Feel that way.
Oh.
Jesus. Yeah. Okay.
Like, I do wonder if people were trying to be like, but what about and he was just like, period. Period. Just like shouting over them.
Yeah, and then again, you know, I have people coming out from like center left being like, why are we still, like, why are we trying to drag this guy down?
Why are we taking each other down?
Yeah.
We got to worry about Trump.
Because a guy who votes for these crime bills and treats Anita Hill like that, I don't know how much focus they're going to put on righting the wrongs of, you know, systemic racism in this country. Maybe that's why.
Right.
And, you know, I think Nancy Pelosi was like, oh, Joe's a good guy. It's like, y'all are from the same planet.
Right.
Planet too rich and too old to understand where we're at right now.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Joe, come on, man. Just yeah. just hang out. Hang out somewhere else, please. Don't need you.
His numbers are wavering, as we talked about earlier in the week. Yeah. So
we'll see. The interesting thing, too, is when you look at the top five candidates, he has, I mean, his support with black voters is blowing out every other candidate.
That's...
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think, again, I feel like if black people hear exactly what this person voted for, what his records were on, like, busing and things like that, you're going to be like, this guy's just, it's more of the fucking same shit.
Is it just right. because he was with Obama that?
I think it's just because when you look at the other people, a lot like, so the top five, Biden, Sanders, Warren, Buttigieg, and Harris, a lot of people will just say, oh, Kamala Harris is a cop. Buttigieg, they don't know much about. Warren is doing the best after Biden out of all those people. But again, I think it is just he's instantly familiar to right. most people because right. he was Obama's vice.
Yeah.
Right. It's the same reason he's having success with a lot of people. Is,
yeah. yeah.
But it also would suggest that he has the most to lose.
Oh, 100%.
Well, once information starts coming out.
Yeah. And I'm sure if you have like people like Warren and Sanders with like more humane policies on trying to create equality in this country and throw it to Mr. Pharma Man.
Right.
What he's going to be like, oh, I think we're doing great. I think, you know, I don't know what kind of specific policies he'll have that might sway a voter to be like, oh, wait, it seems like he, I don't like exactly what he's, what his solutions are to problems I'm experiencing as a voter.
Yeah.
But that's what the debate stage is for. So we'll see what happens because Cory Booker, I believe, is on that stage with Joe Biden.
Yeah.
So that'll be another moment for, I mean, a lot of people were saying like, look, Cory Booker is saying this because it's going to get him on all the news shows because he's in desperate need of, you know, more visibility right now. Mm. But we'll, I'm curious to see what happens on that debate stage because we talk about how people who are like in the single digits, like in terms of polling, they'll typically be more on the offensive or trying to make a scene on right. the stage to try and get some, you know, airtime.
Yeah. I mean, this is why it's a completely insane idea to like go easy on the candidates during the primary. It's like the, this is the process. This is what the primary process is. It's to, you know, figure out things about the candidates, find out like who you actually support and whose beliefs are, you know, actually valid for what you care about.
Yeah.
So, all right, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and the BuzzFeed News investigation into Tony Robbins continued earlier this week with more revelations of sexual abuse and sexual manipulation and harassment of women who worked with him and for him, notably. He really seemed to put a lot of pressure on young women who worked around him to like get into relationships with him and very, you know, problematic shit. But one of the weirder aspects of the picture that all these investigations are painting is how badly he treats the people who pay to come to his seminars. Like, I guess his whole thing is don't let yourself like be a victim, like fight back against. It's basically like don't get down, but the way he frames it is like you're letting your abusive husband victimize you, and it's just very, I don't know, strange.
And that's where the advice ends.
Yeah, basically.
So stop that.
Yeah.
All right, give me $10,000.
Yeah, and one of the things that he does for some reason is he like doesn't give people access to bathrooms and water and food during these things, and like keeps them on like strict bathroom breaks. And I mean, this is like very like culty shit where you are like putting rules in place that are,
yeah, you have no, you know, agency,
making people uncomfortable and taking away their agency. Yeah, exactly. People would have like seizures and faint and have to be taken to the hospital. Anyways,
oh, because of their lack of like, because you're on schedule, yeah, and people with health issues are like, I'm sorry, I don't care what your doctor said.
Right.
You're not drinking water for 30 hours.
So he's
being like, don't be a victim, and then turning them into victims of his abuse.
Right. Don't be a victim to your dehydration.
Right, exactly. Oh, wow. You're really letting your diabetes get to you like that?
Yeah.
Wow. Who's in the driver's seat?
So anyways, one of the new reports kind of added some texture to that, explains that he would, if somebody was not like living up to his standards during the course of the like seminar, he would label them losers. They would put a L on their forehead while playing Beck's Loser, and then get them to go up on stage and drink brown liquid that he called like a mystery liquid. And it is designed to make you sick for, quote, designed to have a lasting effect. So it's not like a gross thing that you swallow and get over in a moment. It's like
it's poison?
Yeah, basically it makes you throw up. A quote from somebody who was his former director of security. Participants were throwing up all over the place in public restrooms, hotel rooms.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Robbins's lawyer said it was just a gross shot. It didn't contain laxatives. It was just pickle juice, apple juice, lemon juice, tomato juice, and a dash of Tabasco.
It's basically a Bloody Mary without the vodka. Right. So I don't know what everyone's tripping about. Ipecac.
Yes. Anyways, it's just really fratty hazing shit. And it kind of goes with his fratty behavior towards women. And by fratty, I mean, you know, rapey and like wildly problematic.
Yeah, it's just abusive monster shit.
Yeah. So anyways, BuzzFeed is asking if you have any experience with Tony Robbins, hit him up at tips@buzzfeed.com, because apparently the more people who come to them with their experiences, the weirder the shit gets.
And what, 10 women have come forward
so
far?
Yes, now 10 women.
Jeez. Yeah.
So what is he just like threatening them with lawyers or something?
Yes. He has like a very powerful law firm that represents him that, you know, he before anybody like works for him or gets into one of his seminars, they basically sign away all their human rights. Like it's just like he NDAs them in the most like insane way.
Wow.
So like you can't say anything about what happens.
That's just telling right there, right? I mean, like,
it'd be one thing if it's like, please don't tell people about like the information I'm giving you because that's like proprietary, and then I can't charge people for it anymore if it's out there. But if it's like, don't even talk about anything you've ever seen or heard me or done, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I guess I don't know. Is there even an NDA that would limit like, don't go and take my teachings and then go teach them?
Right.
Don't make other people drink shit water.
Right.
Because that's proprietary abuse.
Yeah. There's contract law where the legalese might say one thing, but then there's also, I think, in the U.S. Court system, like there are some laws that are like, okay, but this is common sense. Like you can't just abuse somebody and, you know.
Right, and be like, shh, shh, shh.
Right.
Remember well, you that? Signed an NDA, so right. You can't tell anyone about the abuse
that
I inflicted upon you.
Poop on stage to Beck's loser.
Right.
That's so weird that they put on... And
all
then
right,
just
everybody.
People's like vomiting and stuff. Like, what the fuck?
Vomiting back in their hotel room, which suggests that like it's after they get home, like from the long ass day. They're like still sick.
Yikes.
I'm curious to hear from the people, like what rationalization the people who have the Stockholm syndrome, like around Tony, are saying, like to his defense, right? Because I'm sure eventually you are. He's going to have to put people up that are on his side that are going to clear the story. And they're going to be like, it was actually this thing. And it gave actually when I was vomiting, I became more powerful.
Right.
Personally.
Yeah. No,
it increased my personal power tenfold.
I mean, he's obviously very charismatic and he uses that charisma to, you know, do what he wants to people and like create his own rules of like how he can treat people. And I'm sure it is like useful to some people, but. There's probably ways of doing it that doesn't involve physically abusing them.
That's what I mean, but I'm trying to think of how those people are going to rationalize being poisoned.
Maybe like, what doesn't kill me makes me stronger.
Right.
Right.
It's like, I also had a terrible GI problem because of it too, and that. But then that allowed me to be in touch with my doctor.
I mean, I have gallstones right now. Maybe I should go and drink his brown
sludge.
His
elixir.
Please, yeah. Please.
I mean, it sounds like he's really helping people. What is his platform?
Well, it does sound like you are letting your gallstones make you into a victim.
That's my problem.
He's like, now punch him.
Right.
Punch him.
But that is, so it's really wild because one of the stories that they report is, you know, an eyewitness testimony from a woman who he brought on stage and she was in an abusive relationship. Her husband, like, physically abused her, verbally abused her. And he was like, yeah, but are you like a crazy bitch sometimes? Tony Robbins said that. So the wild thing is that she still defends him. Like as the article's being written, she's like, yeah, but he helped me like stand up to my husband and stuff.
You know
so
why?
It's just
because
like,
he's already taking people who are victims of abuse and then acted on a very subtle way where his abuse comes off as empowerment. But there's already people who might be caught in a cycle where they're like, I can look at my abuser and try and rationalize why this is
exactly
not an untenable situation.
It's disgusting.
Fuck Tony.
Yeah, man.
Just bring this shit down already. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Why is it still happening? All right. We're gonna do a little round of what we're fucking with.
What you fucking with?
Just things that we're enjoying. We talked about Chernobyl on yesterday's episode, but Miles, you finally watched it.
I finally watched it. I can't stop talking about it. I restarted it after the fifth episode.
Yeah.
Because I was so... Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it yet.
I went back.
Yeah.
Because I really wanted to just watch it again, knowing what I knew, and then just navigating it like that. I think you'd like it. But again, I do not have a master's degree in anything.
That's your major flaw.
I know. That's why I'm sort of afraid to even give my take right now, because I feel like you're just going to eviscerate it. But
I've heard good things.
Yeah, it's just the way it's told, and I mean the oh God, I can't talk enough about it.
Yeah.
How fucking is moving it is.
The HBO show is good. Also, the podcast is pretty cool, and they do like an interesting thing where they go episode by episode, and the showrunner takes you through like what was real and what was like he had to fabricate and what details of the story he had to change around and like right. what actually happens.
So it's almost like the podcast preempts the articles that BuzzFeed would write about exactly. Chernobyl. And like, here are the things that Chernobyl didn't do like accurately.
Right.
Where like exactly. immediately after you're like, okay, this is what happened. I had to do this for this. Like I right. condensed 12 scientists into one character.
Yeah. That's like the characters that are the most unbelievable are the ones that are most accurate
right.
to like the guy who is just like, you'll do as I say. Now press the button that's going to cause a nuclear meltdown.
Right.
And you're just like, why? How is that guy so?
Like, that was not real, right?
Yeah.
Like, no.
No, that was the guy who was exactly as they depicted him. And the backstory to that is actually, you only find out about it in the podcast. They had to cut it right. out of the show. But so there's this guy who's like the bad boss the night of Chernobyl.
Oh, I'm familiar with the bad yeah. boss type.
Yeah, he is...
As a screenwriter.
Oh, yeah. boy.
He is just demanding that like everybody do the wrong thing. And when people question him, he's like, I've been working here for 8 years. You're a puny piece of shit. Like, get out of my face and go press the button. That's the wrong button to press. So the backstory to why he... like was so head down and like irrational about this is that he had in the past like been around a nuclear submarine yeah. and come home with like all this radiation on him, and then his child had ended up dying of like thyroid
leukemia,
cancer
yeah.
or
no.
leukemia, and like but he refused to believe that it was like him that had caused it,
and they
so,
reportedly
like,
was exposed to a near fatal or potentially fatal exposure to radiation.
Ooh.
Right, which is something that can like a radiated person will pass that radiation on, like
they, or just from the clothes or whatever.
Yeah,
yes.
yeah, yeah. So it's like that guy's whole mind frame, which seems so inexplicable, is actually a true story, and the like backstory to it is one of the most interesting things.
Yeah, and it was interesting Wild. To hear the showrunners to be like, yeah, we didn't want to sort of play armchair psychologist, which I'm like, oh, that's responsible. But then I'm also like, you're also kind of doing like a dramatic thing, so like you can give us a little bit of that.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? Yeah.
But it made the scene interesting. But anyway,
yeah.
that's one thing we're fucking with.
That's one thing we're fucking with.
Another check
thing.
It out.
Fleabag season 2, also very good. Mm. Check it out. There's not that much to say about it other than that it's just incredible.
I heard
incredible.
The chemistry between the priest
Woo!
And
God.
And yeah. God is
amazing,
palpable.
I mean, those yes. rosary beads, man, melting down between his fingertips.
What? So let's talk about Sicko Mode. This new song, from Travis Scott. No,
you guys heard this?
You seen this? You heard about this? So Miles, you were noticing the other day that Travis Scott mentions Jamba Juice twice in Sicko Mode.
Right, and I just passively was like, oh, okay. But then I like Googled it, and so had the internet about 9 months ago also.
Right.
To the point, it's just weird to hear this man from Houston like by name call out Jamba Juice twice in one song, like very casually. He went on like, I think it was Fallon.
Yeah.
I think, and like he did a quote unquote blind taste test of Jamba
right.
Juice. Where he like knew every single one, even down
he
to
knew the flavors.
Yeah,
and
knew
then
the name.
The fifth one, they mixed two flavors together, and he guessed them all.
Right.
And,
not staged at all,
but it was totally staged. Like you could tell
okay.
it was staged. It was like badly staged.
I see.
Yeah.
But the fact that he would lie about having that ability is suggests like some weird
oh,
relationship
like,
to Jamba Juice.
His management was like, you know, it'd be a fun bit to do with
right.
Travis. He loves Jamba Juice.
Right.
Maybe something with blind taste test or
right.
show. But it's funny how he attributes it all to Kylie Jenner.
Right.
Because he was like, I never fucked with Jamba Juice until Kylie Jenner.
Right. Huh.
Who strikes me as growing up in LA, there was like a style of kid who was always at a Jamba Juice.
Right.
Like when I used to work at this laser tag place, there was a Jamba Juice on the first floor. And that used to be the motherfucking spot. Yeah. Like, that was the bar. Like, right. That's where kids got their drinks.
Yeah.
Was at Jamba Juice. And Jamba, like, can we get Jamba? Jamba. There was like a whole. So I feel like Kylie Jenner is from the fucking Jamba crazed generation.
Yeah.
And then got in Travis Scott's head. Meanwhile, there is a. People were like, thought it was so funny. Just like the Eminem Mom's Spaghetti over and over, there is a Travis Scott remix of Sicko Mode just called Jamba Juice. And what they did is made everything rhyme with Jamba Juice, and it's something we're fucking with, and I'll play it right now.
This shit way too formal, y'all know I like Jamba Joes. Stacy Dash, most of these clap like Jamba Joes. All of these hoes I made off rap like Jamba Joes. I might take all my exes and put them all Jamba Joes. Hit my essays, I'm Jamba Joes. About to turn this function into Jamba Joes. Different color chains, see my jewelry rap like Jamba Joes. In the 305, bitches treat me like I'm Jamba Joes.
Anyways. I love a good trolley remix.
Yeah.
And yeah, fucking with that.
Did you see Booksmart?
Not yet.
Either of you? Jessica Williams' character has this like monologue about Jamba Juice, and she was like, you know, I partied too much in my 20s, and I got banned from all the Jamba Juices across the entire nation. It was great. She's like, I can't, Jamba Juice is great. It's a sensation, and I'm banned from all of it.
And is she funny. Like lamenting that she's like ruined her ability to go to a Jamba?
To go to Jamba Juice. Yes.
Do you like Jamba Juice?
I have never been.
That's Wait, fine.
What year is Booksmart supposed to take place in?
Current.
Right? Oh,
yeah.
Current?
Yeah.
Oh, you thought
2019,
like, she was calling out the wave I was talking about?
Right, yeah, like, yeah.
Very specifically, it's 2003.
I mean, maybe Jamba Juice is still
Well, she was talking about... I think her character is meant to be probably in her early mid 30s, and she was talking about like having partied too hard in her 20s. Yeah, so maybe why, she yeah. was
calling.
That was
my next question: is how old is she supposed to be? Because she's in her 20s, I think.
Is she?
I think born. She's about to turn 30. Look at that!
Wow! Good for her.
July 31st, 1989.
Nailed it!
Happy birthday, Jessica Williams.
Cal State Long Beach. So I think that I don't know. I don't know what era she was. Talking about
I would highly suggest you go to Jamba Juice.
Okay.
Actually no, you could just eat a spoonfuls of sugar and take a bite of a banana.
I do that already,
right. Okay, then you've had Jamba
I'm
Juice.
Good. Yeah,
just put grass clippings in a blender and
yeah.
Yeah, that was the one thing that like Jamba Juice really got me with.
Wheatgrass,
the wheatgrass shot. I was like, wow, this tastes bad. It must be working.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it tastes like total shit. And
it's actually the Tony Robbins brown juice that he gives to everybody.
But it's one of those things where you go into Jamba Juice and you'll see people who just came from the gym.
Right.
And I remember subconsciously, I'm like, yeah, because I'm like this person.
I'm probably going to go to the gym.
I'm probably going to go to the gym, but you know, let me get that protein boost just because.
Right.
Because I just want to build unnecessary weight on my body.
Yeah. Are you fucking with Booksmart? Is it a good movie?
Yes, I enjoyed it quite a bit.
How does it compare to Blockers?
It's similar in that, you know, it's focused around high school girls. It is way more like sex positive than a lot of other teen movies that came before it. Tone-wise, pretty similar. Like, they're both fun teen romps.
I love you laughing more.
They're pretty comparable. They're pretty equal. Yeah, although I haven't seen Blockers since it came out, so I don't super remember it.
But okay. From your master's degree point of view, mm-hmm. if you had to put one over the other, I'm sorry, you're going to have to do it.
I would say Booksmart over Blockers.
Oh, okay. I'll have to check that out because I really like Blockers.
Is the director
a woman as well?
It's Olivia Wilde.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
See, this is why.
It's some not a perfect movie it's got some problems. We did a recent Bechdel cast episode on it. So
never mind. I'm not going to watch it if it's not perfect.
Yeah.
Our guest was Vanessa Chester.
Oh, that's
your
right.
friend.
Yeah. Thank you, Vanessa Chester.
For hooking us up.
She played Becky in The Little Princess.
Mm-hmm.
And she was Jeff Goldblum's daughter in The Lost World.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I remember when she got, which was in there, I was like, wait.
What do you mean you're
Jeff Goldblum's daughter? All right. Fuck yeah. All right, Steven Spielberg.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know you were friends with.
She was great.
Jack, I mean.
Jeff Goldblum's daughter from.
That's what I like to say. Whenever I meet someone new, apropos of nothing. Hi, I'm Miles Gray. I'm actually friends with Jeff Goldblum's black daughter from Jurassic Park, The Lost World.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, the toilet paper's over there. This is a CVS.
Yeah, I don't know how I forgot that since that's how you opened your job interview. Yeah. This...
What is a podcast? Okay, let me just start off top.
Let me stop you right there.
Are you recording this? Good. My name is Miles Gray. I'm friends with Jeff Goldblum's daughter from Jurassic Park, The Lost World, Vanessa Lee Chester.
And then the other thing I'm fucking with is just the NBA offseason being more interesting than the regular season.
The league could be completely different.
Yeah. They announced that Klay Thompson is in Space Jam 2, which has nothing to do with what's actually happening in the NBA, but it got me so excited for the idea of LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Klay all being on the same team. Like if Klay signs with the Lakers, they're all in Space Jam 2, and they're all Klay's about to be a free agent, and AD is signing with LeBron and the Lakers, and shout out to Frank Vogel, the new Lakers coach, my friend since I was in high school.
Yeah, a little biased. A little biased. Fine. But he gave you rides to school.
He did.
Full disclosure.
He gave me rides home from school.
Oh, got you. Yeah. Oh, he didn't totally replace your family.
Right. Yeah.
He was the hip uncle.
And hop stayed in, with him Jack. On
yeah. Put in that Wu-Tang tape.
Wu-Tang. Cool. Well, Caitlin.
Yeah.
It's been such a pleasure having you as always.
Thank you so much for having me. I've had a delightful time.
That
sounded insincere.
Wow.
Yeah, no, this has been great, I guess.
Yeah, I've had fun here today. Yeah,
you guys
okay.
are no, hilarious.
No, really, such a pleasure to be here with everyone. So
look,
Caitlin,
truly, honestly, sincerely, I've had a great time.
Oh, you don't have to tell. You don't have to tell us. We hang out all the time anyway.
Yeah.
It's even weird to be like, hey, it's been great having you. I'm like, it's like, yeah. We see each other all the time.
Where can people find you, though, is the question.
You can find me online at Caitlin Durante on Twitter and Instagram. And then you can find me, I'm going to be in Europe in August and September. I know it's a ways off.
You simply must go to Tuscany, is what we were saying.
You simply must.
Before we start recording.
Yeah.
You simply must go to Tuscany.
But I'm going to be doing comedy. It's some shows at the Edinburgh Fringe Fest. I'm going to be in Dublin and London and Paris, hopefully doing shows in those places as well. And so you'll have forgotten about all that. So just, have me back, okay, before I go so I can, okay, I'm falling apart. I'm also teaching some online screenwriting classes. So they're accessible to everyone and they start in mid-July. So check out my website, CaitlinDurante.com, for more info and to register if you want to take an online screenwriting class from me, someone who has a master's degree. Hey.
And that's someone who's at a Starbucks every day, being like, I'm actually a writer, so that's why I'm here looking at porn at Starbucks.
Caitlin, is there a tweet you've been enjoying by any chance?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I hope I screenshotted it. This is from very funny comedian Deborah DiGiovanni. She says, appliances I use the most. Number one, electric kettle. Number two, back scratcher. Number three, the other one.
Miles, where can people find you?
No, get me the other one. Not my main one. Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. I'll be gone next week.
Be gone
just an announcement. Jack told me to leave, so I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in Italy,
he's out of here.
If you're in Italy, hit me up.
Yeah,
maybe we'll hang out.
Damn,
are you going to Tuscany?
Jack said I simply must.
You simply must
go to Florence and to check out the Tuscan region. It's really something else, I hear. A tweet I like is from Yusuf Roach, at Yusuf Roach. Oh, man, such a Yusuf tweet. It just says, laughing at the thought of the Sonic commercial guys burning to death at the drive-in.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine if there was a commercial that dark?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, what do you think about corn dogs? What's that smoke in here? Oh, my God, the doors are locked.
Oh, the Sonic guys, huh? They're the best. sorry, just stalling for time. I do love that when you go on vacation, it's to Italy and Europe. And when I go on vacation, it's to get my stomach pumped because I've too many men have jizzed into my stomach.
What? Whoa.
That was a fan theory.
That was, yeah.
Oh.
That like, I started.
Jack, what?
Well, I want to be as big as Rod Stewart and
we were talking, you know, I don't know Lil if you Kim. Heard, this is a myth that people used to say a lot in like middle school, junior high, high school, that like some celebrity had always had to have their stomach pumped.
Oh, I heard semen. These things, yeah.
Who did you hear it as?
I feel like it was Courtney Love or mm-hmm. something.
That was one.
Okay.
It all changed. We realized there's regional. This myth is regional.
Interesting. Yeah.
So that's yeah. what that's an allusion to that.
I get it.
Yeah. Not Jack just rattling off.
I know. I was like, Jack, what is happening over there?
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. Some tweets I've been enjoying. Anna Dresden tweeted, "Oranges must really hate what we do to them." Drill tweeted, "Age zero, baby, I want my dad. Age 25, millennial, I want my dada." Do you see how fucked this is?
Whoa.
And Megan Amran tweeted, "The human body is basically flavored water." You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song we ride out on. Miles, what's it going to be? What's it going to be?
Oh, let's do a track by Big Thief, and it's called UFOF.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. Think UFO. About that.
Fuck.
These UFOs, fuck.
Yeah.
It actually stands that. For, I think, Friend. It's like their new album from Big Thief. Anyway,
oh, okay.
UFO get into friend. It.
Cool.
They're, you know, just you know, get into it. It's the weekend. Enjoy hey, Miles. Yourselves.
Hey, Miles, did you know that Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio? And for more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Did I know that directive you gave me?
Did you know that?
Yes.
Cool.
I do now.
All right. Well, we're going to ride out on that UFOF song.
Hey.
We'll be back on Monday. So have a great weekend, guys. Bye.
You really worked through that.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.